Welcome to another episode of Lifelong Learner. This is the Out of Class Edition with Ben, Janesh, and Matt. Hope you enjoy.
Welcome back to another episode of Lifelong Learner. Welcome, Ben. How are you doing?
Good to see you. We decided to click the go button. Mate, you're looking sharp. You're looking haircut sharp. Got the black shirt on, mate.
We're both in black again. It's two episodes in a row now. We're both in black. So, I think the black goes well with the blue at the back here. My hair was getting a little scruffy week before last, and I was like, you know what, it's getting warmer. It's time to get a bit of trimmed up and tighten up a little bit.
I'm getting a trim this afternoon, mate, and I'm getting a performance cut.
Mate, so is that going to make you faster this weekend?
Correct. Yes. It's pre-race, bit of pre-race prep.
Sharp haircut.
Plus, I'm hiking the following week, which we might have a bit of chat about. And there's no hair dryers or hair product while you're hiking in the back of Tasmania. And so, a low maintenance haircut is on the agenda.
How long is the hike?
5 days.
Five days. How many k's?
That's a good question. If I was to throw just like a rough number out there, it's probably about 50 to 60 Ks.
So yeah, nice.
Too far, but we're for the first couple of days, we're off trail. So you get dropped in at one end. It's called a place called Lake Ada. Mm-hmm. It's in the Lakes districts of Tasmania. And then you hike out at the other end at the walls of Jerusalem. And we've done the hike before a couple of years ago, going on the west side of the range. We're going to hike on the east side of the range, which is going to be a little wetter. The temperature is going to be a bit cooler. We're kind of in the 3 to 13 degree range.
Oh, it's going to make some cold nights.
Yeah, so it's going to be a little fresh. And and the second day, we don't really know what to expect as far as how wet it might be, as muddy, and how we're going to get over this ridge to drop into a place called Lake Ball. So it's all a bit exciting. And to throw on top of that, I'm going to hike with my standard bodybuilding nutrition profile of calories and percent protein, etc. Normally when you hike, you try and do high fat, high carb.
Yeah, so it lasts long a little bit.
Yeah, so my diet is going to be high protein.
How do you go to pack the dry meals with that sort of
Yeah, pretty good. Proportion. So what I'm doing for breakfast, and for the listeners, I've just discovered, like, first of all, I do a 6-egg omelet or a 6-egg banana pancake where you take half a banana, blend it with six eggs. Now, when I say 6 eggs, I mean 1 egg yolk and 5 egg whites. Now, up to about a month ago, I was cracking eggs, splitting the yolk and the whites. And then someone said, you know, you can buy egg whites in a container in the fridge. Like, game changer. Buy the egg whites in the container, you just pour it in, fantastic. Then, because of the hike, I thought, like, I really want to keep this going. Can you get egg whites in a powder? Google powder, egg whites, boom. So 4 grams of egg white powder is 1 egg. You just add a bit of water.
So is that just dehydrated egg white?
Dehydrated egg white, pure egg white. It's got no fat, no carbs, pure egg white. It's just pure protein, basically.
So can that go off? Or no?
No, it lasts for a long time.
I was just going to say, when you got egg whites in the fridge, it doesn't last long. Yeah. But if you got powdered egg whites.
Yeah, so 25 grams of egg white powder and 100 grams of water makes up six egg whites. So I'll be doing 6 egg whites, and then I bought like meals, you can buy scrambled eggs and sort of cheese mix. And so I'll take a couple of scoops of that, add some egg white, put them in little sachets ready for every morning for breakfast. So stuff like that, right? That's going to give me 30 grams of protein. I'll take a couple of 30 gram protein shake powders for a day. I bought, when I say it's expensive because of the weight, but a couple of tins of chicken, I don't do fish. I don't do tuna. Unfortunately, you can't get the chicken in a sachet, only in a tin. To have with some noodles at lunch and then one of those hike meals for dinner and a bit of peanut butter in the afternoon tea. And mate, so right on it.
Nice. And how many are you going with?
There's five of us or six of us, something like that. I should know because I'm head nav.
You're head nav, and when I asked you how many kilometres, you're like, I don't really know.
Yeah. Well, the reason I was a bit fluffy is because we're spending – in the middle of the hike, we're spending 2 days at Lake Ball where...
This is some out and back day trips.
As you feel like hiking.
Oh, nice. Yep.
So, you know, it could be more, it could be less. But, you know, the core of the hike is probably 50, 60 Ks. So that, and then also the other thing I'm adding, because, you know, I'm keen to make this a little edgy. So low calorie. So I'll be hiking on low calories. Normally I'd be 3,500 calories for a hike a day. I'll be doing 2,000 to 2,500 calories a day. So 1,000 calories less per day. And as well as making it protein. But then the big thing that I'm also doing is going ultralight with my gear. So really paring back stuff. And literally every day I look at my pile that's in my study and go, what am I going to remove? What else could I remove? What else could I remove?
What have you, 12 kilos, including food. What have you potentially removed? And is it like not a full remove, but it's in like a maybe, like I would like to remove this. Is there anything that you've gone, fuck it, I'll remove it, or I'm not sure yet? I'm curious.
Look, it's getting pretty light on. Is there anything that's still in that I'd consider not having in? Like I took my little hat away this morning because I was carrying a cap and a broad-rimmed hat.
Yeah,
and
then when I looked at the
forecast, is 3 to 13 degrees. Nah, I don't need a broad-rimmed hat.
Yeah. So and you don't need two, right? Why do you need two? Just take one.
One's a cap. And if it's super hot, you really want that shade all the way around. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that got removed this morning and you go, yeah, really? Like it's 40, 50 grams, something like that. And I could tell you actually, cause I've got a full Google spreadsheet that's got every item and exactly how many grams it weighs. But mate, it's just, so it's going to be exciting. You know, we had a bit of a hike meeting last night. So the boys all got together on Zoom and one of the guys was going, so you're taking your camp chair? Cause we have these ultralight little camp chairs, but still, you know, they weigh, right? I went, mate, not taking the camp chair. He said, what are you going to sit on? I said, nothing. I'm going to sit on the ground. He goes, oh, mate, like we want to be comfortable. Like we're going to be in camp, you know, for most of the afternoon, most days.
Oh, and, true.
Nah, this is the ultralight hike. This is the ultra uncomfortable. I'm super excited because there's a box sitting over there that arrived yesterday, which is my ultralight hike tent. It doesn't have any poles, doesn't have any, you know, rods or anything. All you do is you use your hiking pole to prop it up. So, which, by the way, I've got some new carbon fiber hiking poles. Right,
this is hilarious. Is that just a little one-man tent?
One-man tent. Weighs 690 grams.
So curious for you. Yeah. Would you do, like knowing that you're going lighter and you want to go a little leaner, right? Would you do say this year, like let's go 12 months as opposed to in like whenever, would you try and do like a go fast hiking, right? So it's like, when I mean go fast, it's like the guys that try and do like an FKT, right? So it's a run hike and it's like super light, like meaning it looks like a running back. It's not a hiking backpack. It's a lot. It's like in between a Salomon vest and a hiking backpack, and they're in like they're not in pants. They're in like shorts and trail runners, and they're still hiking. They're not running the whole thing. I've got a few friends that have done it, and like all the pre story, I'm like, this sounds terrible, right? It's not an event. It's not anything. But then, like the after. Like when I chat to them, like they're just the adventure, that part excites me. And the two of them have tried to do a couple of FKTs, so faster than times of a ridge or anything. And one of them came close and was like, oh, when I mean close, like over 4 days, he was 2 hours off.
What's what's fastest known time? What does that
mean? So FKT is the fastest known time. So if you look up, say, the hike you're doing, there'll be an FKT set. So fastest known time that someone's trekked it, runned it, hiked it, whatever. And it usually fastest known time is all self-supported. It's not aid stations. It's not support crew. It's, so there's like fastest known times of mountain ascents all around the world. So... So that part's like that part of the adventure. Would you ever?
Yeah, mate, I would. Last year, Logs and I, the boys did. We decided to hike the Grampians, which is a 4-day hike. And I had to go to a wedding, so I said to the guys, I can't come. And then I went, what about if I did it in 2 instead of 4? And so Logan and I did the hike in 2 days instead of 4. The challenge was we got 40 degrees. For the 2 days, I decided to hike in some new trail runners.
I heard about this Ultra Lone Peaks, mate. And to the listeners, can you just tell them how much time did you spend in these shoes prior to this hike?
Yeah, I didn't, is the answer. I didn't spend any time. And these are zero drop. And I have a dodgy foot. And there was lots of uphill. And so if you've got zero drop, it means you're getting lots of dorsiflexion. That is, your foot is flexing back all the time.
Mate, your Achilles and your calves would just be hammered.
2 days in one, 2 days in one, and it got to the end of that day. And literally every step was just like a knife being driven into my ankle. And I remember stumbling into camp and just laying down on the first little bit of dirt where I was going to sleep and... Logs goes, come on, there's just around the corner. There's a thing. I go, no, I'm just gonna lay here. Oh mate, it was horrific. I had this t-shirt on, this black t-shirt, and it had stalactites of calcium on it from sweat, sodium and calcium stalactites, like literally coming off it. It was full on. It was epic. Like it was really, really good. So 4 days in 2. We didn't go ultra light, like we didn't go a Salomon backpack style, but the key is to make sure your runners are the right runners, which I was reminded of last night. Carl, one of the boys, said, so have you had your hiking boots on lately? I go, mate, oh yeah, I must do that. Actually, just kind of remind them what my foot feels like. And
yeah, it's probably one of the most important piece of gear.
It is the most important. Yeah, most important. With a brusted foot, it's the most important. So, mate, I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun and it's an interesting crowd. I hike with a German lawyer, a Jewish lawyer. We've got a German psychiatrist, classic, you know, bespeckled glasses, grey swept back hair, just like you'd see out of a movie, sitting at a big mahogany desk, you know, with his pipe kind of vibe. He's an interesting dude. We've got a German viticulturalist, an Aussie/German chiropractor, and me.
Mate, so quite an eclectic group.
It's eclectic. I don't catch up with any of them all year, except for the month before we do a hike dinner in prep, and then for the hike. So, you know, it's really good because we've had a year. We've got a year of catching up to do, a year of conversations, and
but you got 5 days of like being with each other, right? So
yeah, so it's really exciting, really, really good to do.
Yeah, oh,
but even more than that, I reckon, if I can share this insight that came to me today, I feel, you know, sometimes we can get a little too. I don't know whether this is the right phrase, but I'm going to use this phrase. Correct me if I'm wrong. We get a little too close to the campfire. We can get a little too close, too absorbed, too familiar, too much exposure to parts of our life. And there's a part of my life that's just frustrating me. And I don't know where that came through in our last podcast. Let's call it the business part of our life at the moment that I'm finding a little frustrating. And I'm super looking forward to being away for a chunk of a week and getting away from the current campfire and onto a new one. Give me some perspective on, you know, what's going on in part of my world. And I think just for me, and I don't know about for you, I think I need to do it a little more regularly. You know, Michelle and I didn't have a holiday this Christmas.
Mm.
We didn't get away. And I think, yeah, I just need to get away so as I can put certain parts of my life into perspective. So I'm really looking forward to, particularly with this hike, because there's no phone signal.
Mm.
You know, once we get dropped off, the only way out is walk out or get an e-perb and it be helicoptered out.
Mm-hmm.
And so you really, you can't even think about work because there's nothing you can do about work. You
can't do about it, yeah.
So it's a really powerful space. What about you? Do you ever find yourself a little too close to the campfire, if that's the right phrase?
Yeah, I definitely at the start of this year, I had some, I went through some challenges where I was like, and then I like the whole, oh, this is shit. Nah. I don't think I'm on the right track, blah, blah, blah. And then it's interesting because I had a look at it and went, in perspective, it's pretty good. And I started looking and going, is some of these challenges the cost of how good it is, right? Like, I don't think of, say, 80. At that time, it felt like bloody 70% was not great, but really it's only 10%. And you go, well, is this 10% the cost of the 90% being good?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And really going, hey, this 10% is sometimes someone else's every day of the week for someone. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, is this the cost? And is it? And it was just one of those questions where I asked a couple of my clients in a session, going, well, what matters? What really matters, right? And I wasn't asking that myself and go, what really matters? And end of the day, that stuff, it mattered, but I was making it matter more as opposed to going, great, yep, it's a challenge, let's work through it. It was like a lot of like, fuck this. Nah, don't want to do that anymore. Nah, fuck it. And it wasn't like and it's interesting when that perspective from, as you were saying, came from space. And I think my theme for this year is space. Is space, intentional space, and putting myself in environments where there is space. And space from not just one thing, but space from different areas, right? Like, so if I'm having a night out with the fellas, it's a bit of a space from work, family, and also it's space from health as well, right? Like, it's not going, I'm just doing this all the time. And how do you intentionally put space in? I've just found in the last probably month, like, sprinkling space in, I'm better for it. And I think, as you said, space gives us perspective, right? Gives us like going, it's actually pretty good. Oh, it doesn't matter. All right. And it calms me down for sure. Was it you saying space as well when we talked about themes?
Yeah. Space is my word for the year this year as well. It's interesting. It is space. And mate, what you just said there is, I think it's like a little bit of gold. I'm actually getting a pen, I'm going to write down.
I'll send you the invoice later.
Yeah. Well, I own most of the IP on what I'm about to share. Actually, my bodybuilding coach, he owns most of it. He said, Benny, way back, he said, mate, I just want 4% of your day. I want you to devote 4% of your day to your body. I went, 4%? That's nothing. That's like, it's nothing. Mm. And then I had to kind of do the math. Well, what is 4% of my day? 4% is 1 hour.
Mm.
I go, okay. Well, it's 1 hour. That feels quite significant, but it is only 4% of the day. All right. He said, I just want 1 hour. I just want you to devote 1 hour to your body every day. Now, and I've been doing that. But here's the thing. What about if we also put away 4% of our month to ourselves, 4% of our month towards space?
Right?
That would mean we would take one day away from our normal routine, away from the hustle and bustle, one day away to create some space so that we can think, so we can look at things critically. Because I think we just get, I certainly get in the machine. Sometimes I get in the machine, and it's just when you're in it, it is hard to get perspective. And I think creating some space and taking that step away, imagine just 4% of your month, one day.
And so just so to give our listeners a bit of like framework here, a couple of questions. One, what would that day look like? Right? Like, so, like, is that day, and again, there's probably a magnitude of answers here, but what would that day look like in a broad stroke?
Are you asking me, or is it a general question?
Just a general question, yeah. I think. I think, like, it would have to, I think you've told me this before, I would say it would have to give more than it takes. So sometimes it might be a day of solitude by yourself at a nice restaurant, go for a hike or whatever, or it could also be a day connecting with old friends, right? But it has to, I think, yeah, for me, it has to give more than it takes. Because sometimes those take more, right? Sometimes connecting at that time, that type of space you need, is not connecting because it takes more energy. You go, you know what, I just want a day or myself. I just want a day with a book and a cup of tea and a cafe. Or I actually need a day of like seeing people and laughing and connecting and having a bit of banter because that's what I need right now. And it's but how do people know? How do you think they can tell or decipher?
Yeah. I don't know. What sort of comes to life with, as you're saying that is it's a day where it's a pattern interrupt, where you're out of your normal pattern. I think that's probably so that you can create perspective, so that you do break the rhythm, the trance, I think, that sometimes we get in. Break the trance and actually be able to look at your life. And it could be through activity. It could be, at, like you said, through community. It could be through solitude. But it's a pattern interrupt to your daily rhythm. I reckon that's yeah, I reckon that's probably key as a component to it. And, you know, I think, and everyone goes, oh, I haven't got time for that. Like, how would I fit that in? And what about family? And what, you know, I can imagine, you know, someone like you, for example, husband, got a wife, got young kids, got kids sports, got, you know, all that stuff going on. Mate, you just can't take a day off every month and wander off from everybody. Or can you? Right. And I was asked a question this morning, actually, early, someone talking about his dad, and he said, you know, like, my dad's getting older and, you know, your dad's passed now, and so what advice would you give me about, you know, just about having a dad that's getting older? And I think he was kind of asking, you know, what else should I do? What mistake should I not make? Or I said, you know what? This is what I feel into when you ask me that question is that you can have anything you want, not everything. And there's times when I reflect on my dad and go, and it's very fleeting because I'm really aware of what I'm about to say. Is I would have connected with him a bit more. But if I had, I couldn't have connected with Michelle that day, or couldn't have worked on my business that day, or couldn't have gone to the gym that day, or, you know, you can have anything but not everything. And so, you know, in hindsight, you go, oh, I wish I'd had more time, or I wish I'd said more, or whatever it was. But at the time, it was the best that you could do. And so you know, now if my dad was still alive, I might go, oh, I just want to spend every moment with him because I know he's going to die. Well, what? How much many moments do I spend with my kids, or how many moments do I spend with my wife? And I've still got a business to look after and my health to look after. So I think those things will always be there. And I think it's just about in the moment, what is the priority? And I think when I have guests come on my radio show, Health Matters, Audible PFM 98.7 on the dial, Tuesdays 11 to 1.
Shameless plug.
When I have them come on, one of the most common conversations and one of the most common things that all my health guests say is, you got to make yourself a priority. You got to put yourself first. You got to take care of self before you take care of everyone else. And we're not going to do the announcement on the aeroplane about if the mask drops down, put it on yourself before you put it on your kid first, you know. Take care of yourself and then you can take care of others. I think it's just got to be one of the important things that we do. So coming back to your question, I think it's an interrupt of your normal pattern. That's what's key.
So you've got a couple of things that come to mind when you say that. Like, I'm a firm believer of fill your cup up first, because you got to fill your cup up first. If your own cup is not full, you got nothing to give, right? And you're going to run on empty. You're too busy filling everyone else's cup, which we do, and you're not doing. You're going to run in deficit, right? You're going to run dry. So, question: I really like when you said it has to be a pattern interrupt, right? So, how do you? Like, I'm just thinking for myself here. If I was to do that and schedule something in, over time, won't that become a pattern?
Yeah.
Like, so if I'm thinking, say, on a weekly basis, right? So on a weekly basis, like a month basis, yeah, but I'm thinking on a weekly basis, if I take 2 hours out or something, right? And then I go, then that becomes a pattern. And how do I keep and is that okay? It's no longer a pattern interruption anymore. However, and also that pattern, say if it's just 2 hours to take myself to breakfast every week, right? Just by myself and a journal, blah, blah. That, like, I think over time, for me, that could lose value and lose effectiveness. Like, I think it'd be super potent in the first month, first 2 months probably, first 3 months. And then it would just be like, yeah, I don't know. So how do you do a pattern interruption without it becoming a pattern?
You know what? I think it's tricky. I think it's tricky. I think it's, again, for me, it's like, how do you step away from the campfire? How do you shake things up? How do you create space in your mind? You know, it's like when you're trying to think of, you know, someone asks you something and you go, oh, it'll come to me. And you keep pushing and you keep pushing. And then you go, look, I tell you what, let me just forget about it. Let's continue our conversation and then it'll come to me.
Yeah.
Right. And so you stop pushing on the thing, you drift away, you're starting another conversation and boom, the word, oh, mate, it was blank. And the word comes back. I think that's where you've got to, that's the whole step away from the campfire. It's, you know, sometimes we're in it and we're pushing the same way. We've got to be distracted. We've got to take our mind off that thing. I don't know completely how to answer it. What do you think? How do you, if it is true that we need to get away from the campfire, that we need to create some space and it needs to be a pattern interrupt, how do you do that? Well,
yeah, for me, I would say 80% of things I'm okay with it. For certain things that matter or cause pain, I don't know if I know before I'm too close. Right? Like, you think you're far enough, but you're not. And then you go, oh, it's a bit warm, it's fine. And then next thing you know it, your shoe's on fire. You're like, oh, shit, now I need some space. And I've had times in the last probably 18 months where in different areas of my life where I've gone, oh, shit, I need to have some space and reassess and spend more time and energy in this area and less time here. because I need more. I need space from this area and divert that energy, right? And I probably in hindsight, I was like, oh, I should have been able to see that, but I didn't. So I think it comes with sometimes experience and hindsight and getting burnt, and you go, okay, great. I know what that feeling was, and I definitely need space here, here, and here.
Mate, I'm going to make a little bit. I bet that the things that you got burnt on were the things that really matter.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Yeah. They weren't the things that didn't really matter. They were the things that really mattered to you the most.
100%.
And you just kept pushing to try and get it right and got closer and closer to the campfire rather than stepping away to find perspective.
Mm-hmm. Oh, big time. And I think if I stepped away, it would have been, funny enough, less trying and more letting, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're trying to think you're getting something right, but you're actually not. But if you just stepped away and just watched, just watched and listened and let things unfold a bit, then it's like, and it's counterintuitive because that's easier, right? It means less, potentially less work, but I think it's more intentionality.
Mm. Yeah. I think it's tricky. Like the whole thing, life is tricky. This whole getting the balance right is tricky.
It's a constant work, right? I think we've talked about it lots of times. It's like like entropy, right? It's always moving to disorder. Mm. Always. Every day. Like you do one little thing and it's like, or you forget one little hello, potentially. You're like, it takes work, right? It takes work. It takes work to be in balance, be in harmony, to have space to go. And I think I think I say this a lot, this is like taking stock is important. I've gone, is these things good? If they're not, what are you doing? And that doing might be not doing, but what are you doing? Why do you think, again, I think we've said this before, but when people are in it, right, and they don't have space or maybe the pain's not enough, but they don't actually see that they need to step away. Why don't they step away from the campfire? Everything's on fucking fire, but it's warm, it's comfortable. Why don't they step away?
Why don't you?
I do until the pain, until it's got to a pain point where I'm like, oh, fuck, okay. I need to step away. I need to make some change here. I know I don't because the pain's not loud enough. It's not, I don't think it is a problem. I still think I'm far away, but literally I'm standing on the fire for me personally.
Mm.
But then some people go, I don't know, I'm okay. And I've got people in my circle, you included, would go, hey, you need to make some changes. But what happens like when people are in it, they know they're in it, and it's like, we talked about this last time, but like that defeated flame, and they go, well, it is what it is.
Mm.
And they don't think they can step away, but they know they've got awareness, right? They've got the next step across. They know with their awareness, everything's on fire, but it's like maybe, and I think a lot of people unfortunately are in that state where it's a bit of overwhelm. They're like, well, I can't really do anything about it. I'm not really happy with my life. I'm not really happy with my relationship. I'm not really happy with it. But it is what it is. And I'm like, I don't know if it needs to be.
Mm. Yeah. I think we get close to the flame and we don't step away, because of a lack of awareness sometimes.
Mm.
We just don't have that emotional intelligence and the self-awareness and the mindfulness. We're in a mindless state rather than a mindful state of what's going on. We're not really present. And maybe because we haven't taken the time to have preventative breaks to calibrate along the way, to notice that we're getting closer. So again, as a preventative approach to do that, you know, imagine if you did that just once a month, you took that time out to get perspective and go, oh, actually, I'm actually getting a bit close. I just notice I'm getting a little close. I think that's one thing. And then I think for some of us, we think we can just smash our way through. You know, I've hit it 25 times. I reckon maybe just a couple more and I'll get it. If I just stay in the boat with this thing, two more hits, I might break through. And sometimes that's what we need. This is the challenge. Sometimes you got to stay in the boat with the thing because you're so darn close to the breakthrough. But then there's this calibration of, hey, you're banging away at the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. You know? No, I don't think you can get that perspective when it's there right in front of you.
I've been there. Fuck. Been there. And I've been there and it's caused me so much pain. So much pain because I thought I was doing good. Right? Mm. That I thought I was doing good. And I'm like, and then you're like going to do it and go, well, fuck it then. If that's not working, like, I can take your sand toys. I don't want them. Right? And then it's more of a get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. Still go, still watch it. But you got to watch it as opposed to going, you're trying to bloody row or swim upstream. It's like, it's fucking just relax a little bit. But it's more painful when you, as you said, when you're banging on and you think you're doing the right thing. You honestly think you're doing the right thing.
Mm. It's like when you know, I feel like it's almost like that classic when you're speaking to someone that doesn't speak your language, like literally. And so you start to yell. If I increase my volume, he'll understand better, you know? If I just hit a little harder, it'll happen. If I just push a little harder. And sometimes, yeah, it sounds a little bit woo-woo and zen, but really it's time to stop pushing. Or take perspective, go, yeah, actually, I'm on the right track, get back in and keep pushing again. Because you are close. But the perspective, I think, is the key. It's that step away. And I just wonder whether it does need to be preventative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Preventative perspective.
Yeah. Mate, what would be your takeaways and your wrap up from today?
Yeah. I think I think put the pattern interrupts in. They are uncomfortable. You know, like you and I catching up this weekend, we're off to the Warburton Run Festival. And
man, that's going to be a good pattern interruption though.
Mate, it'll be a great pattern interruption, but, you know, it's a little painful. Got to get a camper trailer organised and, you know, got to hook it up and pack it up and get up there. And then the race event itself, you know, deciding what races to go in. You know, I've got a bit of pain around that. It's like, there's a real tension of wanting to really experience some edge, but just awareness that, you know, a couple of days later I'm off hiking in Tasmania. I don't want to break myself, but I'm wanting to experience the edge, having an awareness that it's going to be 37 degrees most days that we're there. But yeah, and just the decision. And then once I decide, you know, if I do one of the bigger races, you know, the discomfort of that. But it's in all that we'll get perspective, I reckon. It's in that, you know, you get present and you get perspective and, you know, looking forward to catching up with you and the conversations and, yeah, just all of that. And so for me, it's getting, again, looking at my calendar and making sure I schedule in 4% of my life is time where I'm going to get perspective.
I like that. Mine would be, it's interesting. So we teach it for like emergency situations and we teach it for clients that the value in taking an intentional pause in before you go into a situation, right? Like I still remember vividly like I did this wilderness paramedic course in the States when living there. And this is the one where they allow you. I'm not sure legally if you were allowed to, but they would teach you to put in like a little like breathing valve into the lung if you're kind of stuck remotely. And like this old guy, like pretty rough around the edges, was our instructor. And he said, what do you do when you first come to a site, right? Everyone's putting their hand up saying like, well, assess the scene, make sure the patient's safe, make sure you're safe. And he's like, his question was like, what do you think I do? And he goes, I light my cigarette and I take a drag. And everyone's like, what the fuck? He goes, I light my cigarette, take one drag, and I pinch it out, and then I go to work. That's like his trigger for his intestinal pause. And my takeaway is this, is like, how do you put, preventative intentional pauses in into your life, not reactive. I do that okay, but it's reactive. It comes with a lot of pain, right? So how do I schedule in preventative intentional pauses through my week? I think through my week would compound. If I do it in the month, like I wait for the Hail Mary, and it's like, I think it's, for me personally, damage will already be done. Like, how do I do mini interruptions, mini intentional pauses through the week?
Good, mate. Yeah, I really like that. I really like that. That's very cool.
Yeah.
I don't smoke, but I could find something else.
Yeah, just that pause, yeah. So,
yeah, I like it. Fantastic. Great chat today.
Likewise. Will do. And listeners, thanks again for tuning in. Have a good one.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Lifelong Learner. If you like this episode and want to know more and hear other episodes, head over to lifelonglearnerpodcast.com, where you can subscribe to our newsletter, where you'll be the first to know when new podcast episodes come out. And if you want to say hello, tell us a joke, or ask us a question, send us an email at hello@lifelonglearnerpodcast.com. Thanks again.